Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, 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 welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Wednesday to you. It's Wednesday, October the 2nd. Mark Narducci is back in the building, so to speak, in the podcast. Mark took a day off. So I had one with a couple other fellas yesterday, Mr. Michael Lee and Devon Givens. But Mark is back. And today we're going to talk to you guys about the first day of training camp, which was yesterday. And Mark, you know, it was a lot of things that happened yesterday. I mean, first of all, you have everyone was raving about Trey Burke. Everyone said that the guys we talked to said that this was the best practice that they had. And those guys, I shouldn't say everyone, Joel Embiid said that, Ben Simmons, Brett Brown, you know, those are guys that basically who were the veterans of the squad, Coach Brett Brown. So we're going to talk about that in the first segment. In the second segment, it's something that I'm really not concerned with right now. I think that he could have played all the practice, and I'm talking about Joel Embiid. He was limited in practice today. And the reason why I'm not concerned is because that's been his life as a 76er, you know. So we'll talk about that. And then in the third segment, we're going to talk about the point guard, backup point guard competition. You have Haou Neto, and then you have Trey Burke. Now, again, Trey Burke was killing it from what we heard in yesterday's practice. So this is going to be a competition between the two. Neto won the competition when they were in Utah. So, you know, right then and there, we're going to talk about it. But listen, man, everyone was raving over Trey. They all talked about how great this practice was yesterday. What's your impressions of that?
Well, I think people that listen to this regularly know we as reporters don't get to see a lot of practice. Mm-hmm. So we're relying on what everyone's saying. But it was interesting that Brett Brown and it was interesting that Ben Simmons brought it up really unprovoked. And he was talking about Trey Burke, how he was just getting to the basket, which is going to be his job. He can score. We know that. I personally, Keith, not based on one day of practice, but I do think that he can be the backup point guard on this team. Because as we've talked about before, they're going to need some offense off the bench. And that one thing, if you define his career, is he has been able to score. He has been able to get to the basket. I know on media day he said he's going to be a better defender, but I think everybody says that on media day. And maybe he will be. But he's here, and if he does stick, and as you've pointed out before, he has a partially guaranteed contract. I expect him to stick, and I do expect him to be the backup point guard.
Yeah, you know, I do, too. Here's my concerns, though. Or not concerns. I should say if there's something that says to me that maybe he may not be the backup point guard is when you listen to Brett Brown and he talks about how we want someone to be able to make shots. We want some. Now, again, he is a scorer. But he says he wants someone to be able to make shots. He wants someone who can play defense. And Trey Burke, defense hasn't been his calling card. Again, like you said, it's one of those things where he says that, you know, he's going to be a better defender. He's committed to it. But, you know, scoring is great. But, you know, I think that when you say, okay, here's a guy, I want them to be able to bring both things to the table, maybe Neto may get the edge on that because he can shoot the ball, you know, and also it just seems like he may be a better all-around. Now, again, Trey Burke is exciting. He's going to get the buckets for you. But, you know, what do you want? Do you want a flashy guy or do you want a guy that's going to do this? Now, again, you know, I'm just playing devil advocate here, but the way that everybody, again, we didn't see it, but the way that everyone was raving over him, you know, you would assume that at least early on that he gets edged. Now, here's one thing, though. You got to realize, Neto has a guaranteed contract. Mm-hmm. This is the first day of training camp. Neto is coming off of an injury that he had last year. So he's probably hasn't been conditioned as well. Now, Trey Burke has a partially guaranteed deal. He wants to prove to the Sixers that he's deserving of making his team so he can get paid. So at this particular time, under the circumstances, you can assume that he was a little bit hungrier than anyone else in the gym because he's the one that doesn't have a guaranteed contract as well.
That's true, but the other thing is being hungry and being able to produce are two different things. And again, we were just going on secondhand accounts, mainly from Ben Simmons, that he did produce. Now, as you've mentioned before, these two were teammates in Utah, and Neto beat him out for that backup role.
Actually, it was the starter because what happened Dante Exum was injured.
That's right.
And Neto got the job from him.
So, now again, that doesn't mean that Burke can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the makeup of this team, Keith, is even off the bench, they're so good defensively. They have, you know, Mike Scott, James Ennis. They're going to need someone that can score. And again, that is one thing that we think Trey Burke can do. I expect him to be a factor on this team.
I do too. It's just that, I mean, we'll
but it find is one day.
Yeah, we'll find things out. I expect him. Now, in regards to the excitement level of the practice, the energy, this and that, you know, it's what you expect. I mean, let's keep it real. When Ben Simmons came here, you know, this will be his third year as a player.
Right.
But it will be his fourth year on the team. He got injured the first training camp. I think it was the first practice, the end of the first practice, or the end of the first week, whatever. He got injured. So the team was young. I mean, that's back when they had Jahlil Okafor, Nerlens Noel, Hollis Thompson, all these type of guys.
Yeah.
And the team was coming off of a 10-win season, right? You know, so it was one of those things where, okay, it's one of those things where, like, okay, the team isn't that good. And now you look at all the bodies in the gym, this team is so much better. So, of course, the energy is going to be better. You know, guys know what to do. It's a more veteran ball club. You have, you know, Al Horford. I mean, you have all these guys, so they know exactly what they're going to do. Brett Brown and his coaching staff, they don't have to slow things down and coach. Just get out and run, guys. Even though you have a lot of new players, they're veteran NBA guys. So you expect the practice to be better.
Not only that, Keith, there are 30 teams in this league. How many teams do you think had a bad first practice? I would guess zero because, you know, everyone's pumped up. It's the first day and all that. So everyone looks great on the first day. I think things will separate themselves. And, you know, you'll see how long this enthusiasm goes. But one thing is there are a number of players that are playing for minutes. And that tends to get competitive practices. So I think that part of it will continue.
But in his defense, though, I mean, I can see where he's coming from, like, in a way, because I know what you said, how many teams don't have it like this,
right?
But when you come from what you had,
right,
you know what I mean, like, to whereas, you know, he's coming down the court. I mean, think about it. He and Joel Embiid are all-stars. They were young all-stars. So you're coming down the court and you're zipping a no-look pass and it hits the dude in the head. Or you know, you're doing this and that and the guy can't keep up or they're missing shots. So for him saying that, it's kind of like, wow, look at the toys I have now. You know what I mean? As much as he and JJ, they became to depend on him, that was a work. I mean, like, they struggled a little bit because he didn't know where to get JJ the ball. JJ had to get used to playing with him. So when we hear Ben Simmons say that, that's what I take. You know what I mean? So it's not really saying, you know, he's over-exaggerating. I think it's true. This was by far the best practice that he's had since his first practice that he's had since, you know, he was a rookie.
It's interesting you said of getting used to playing with one another, and we kind of take it for granted that these guys are basketball players and can do it. But even Al Horford talked on Tuesday about just getting with Joel Embiid and learning the spacing and where he likes it on court. And that's going to be, you know, throughout training camp, that's going to be, you know, a work in progress.
Exactly right. Work in progress. Well, look, in the second segment, let's talk about Joel Embiid. You know, Brett Brown said that he had, and we'll talk about it more when we get back from this break, but just leading in, you know, Brett Brown said he had a great workout. Joel Embiid said he really didn't work. He had a limited workout. So we'll talk about that. What does it all mean when we get right back? All right, Mark. So what does all that stuff mean to you?
Well, Keith, I've got to be honest with you. When Joel Embiid, we didn't know that he didn't, you know, go through. We thought he did everything in practice today. On the first day of practice, to me, if you're unable to go through the whole practice, maybe I'm jumping to conclusions, but that was a little surprising to me. Now, I know Joel, I didn't realize how much he was rehabbing that knee all summer till he talked to us on Monday. But apparently he's not 100% yet, and I guess he'll use training camp to try to get in the kind of shape that he needs to be in.
Yeah, and to me, the reason why I'm not I mean, the reason why I'm not surprised or I'm not this and that, because I'm used to it. Like last year, Embiid didn't practice. Before, he always came in. He was like a limited participant. And, you know, I remember how it was last year. I mean, there was, what, he missed 14 of the last 24 games with his knee, tendonitis in his left knee. He missed game three of the opening round playoff series, with tendonitis. So when you think of that, me personally, I'm like, okay, here we go again. Joel's not doing it. Now, again, in the ideal world, you want him out there doing everything, but it just hasn't been the case. And, you know, Joel's one of those guys to me, like other guys come in shape. Joel's one of those guys, he comes in like old school football and basketball players used to be. They come in and they use training camp to get in shape. And that's just how it is. Now, again, it's one of those things that we have to monitor to see if it lingers. But I'm not shocked at all that he wasn't in optimal shape or he can't, like, complete a full workout at practice. It's just, you know, that's what we come to expect, unfortunately.
Well, the positive news, Keith, is the fact that he told us on Monday and he reiterated it on Tuesday that he says the knee feels good. So, you know, he said he spent most of the summer rehabbing it. But I think that of all the Sixers, maybe his basketball skills, you know, there's a little rustiness there. So training camp will be important for him, whether he can go through the full workouts or not, to get some of this rust off and get ready for the season. Because as he said on Monday, he expects to play more than he did last year when he played 64 games. I have my doubts, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, he told ESPN, I heard, like he said to us, 64.
Over
64. He told ESPN he expects to play 70. That's only missing 12 games? That's, dude. I mean, I think personally he may want to miss a little bit more than that just because, I mean, you look at what Kawhi Leonard has done. You look at the addition of Al Horford, who can help out. You know, it's not about regular season. I understand that he wants to get 60 wins in the regular season, but, you know, the Sixers need him in the postseason. They need him to dominate in the postseason. I mean, look at Kawhi Leonard. You know, Kawhi Leonard last year, you know, no one talked about him for the MVP race during the regular season. But he, at the end of the year, he is recognized right now as the best player. He was the best player in the NBA last year. He was. You know, no question about it, because of what he did to will his team to the championship.
And the other thing is, Keith, I thought he was banged up in that final series. And I think a lot of that was the heavy minutes he played, you know, against the Sixers, against the Bucks. But he never, I don't think, would have ever been able to make it to the finish line if they didn't watch him in the regular season. And I'm sure the Sixers have looked at that very closely. And, you know, Embiid, give him credit. The guy wants to play. I mean, give him credit for his attitude of that, but it's also got to be able to use good judgment, too, because he certainly was limping at the finish line at the end of the regular season a year ago.
Yeah. And okay, when we get right back, we'll go to the third segment. Now, right now, the biggest competition in the preseason has to be the backup point guard. I mean, we talked about that a little bit, about Trey Burke and Neto, and we talked about how, you know, Burke was exciting. But when you look at it, I mean, these are completely two different types of point guards. Like, Neto, like I said, is arguably a more complete guy. Mm-hmm. You know, Burke is a scorer. You know, the thing is, Brett Brown says he wants kind of like a guy who can make shots and defend. But at the same, and a guy who can make shots is good to play alongside Ben Simmons. But as you alluded to early on, it's going to be hard to keep Trey Burke off the floor. And the reason being is because when you look at that second unit right now, where are they going to get their scoring points from? I mean, we all know that they have some bigs who can shoot, but where are you going to get a guy that you can say, all right, brother, we need you to carry us for a couple minutes?
Yeah, I agree with you, because not only we talked about Mike Scott and James Ennis, but you look at the other guys that make it minutes. Zaire Smith, Matisse Thybulle, those guys are not going to be instant offense off the bench. Mm-hmm. So that's the other reason why I think Burke is going to get those backup point guard minutes, and I think he has a chance to be a significant contributor on this team.
Yeah, I agree a lot. I mean, well, again, I shouldn't say I agree a lot, because I kind of think that it's still up in the air, but to play. You know, he has to play. But what about Neto? I mean, do you think that he has let's say if he doesn't get the backup point guard role, I mean, do you think that he has a chance to get minutes? Because, you know, because of Trey Burke's skill set, if he's not the backup, they could still bring him in on smaller lineups and say be a scorer.
I guess, but even Brett Brown told us last week at the media luncheon that likely you're not going to get three point guards playing. So I can't see all three of them getting minutes. And the other thing is, Keith, is how durable Ben Simmons has been. I know he missed his first season with the foot injury, but, I mean, he played 79 games last year. He was, I think, at 81 his first year. So where are the minutes going to be for a third point guard? I just don't see it. The other thing I wanted to ask you, Brett mentioned Josh Richardson, and he said maybe more toward the playoffs, but he could be a backup one. And the other thing, and I wanted to ask you, and you know his game a lot better than I do, but Shake Milton has played. Is there any chance of him?
I don't think he's ready right now.
Okay,
I mean, I think maybe he could come in and like you know, score for him and make some shots and stuff like that, but. You know, and I'm just basing it off of what I witnessed in the summer league.
Sure.
I don't think he's ready to get quality NBA minutes at the one.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Now, maybe, you know, the thing with Shake is, he's an undersized combo guard to me. Mm-hmm. Just an undersized combo guard. So, you know, with that being said, I could see him possibly getting minutes that way. But let's think about it. At this particular time, I would have to say that he may not be ready enough to give them extended minutes in the postseason. You know, he just isn't. But, you know, I don't see him as a point guard. Not right now. I mean, I like Shake. I just don't see him as a point guard.
And by the way, he figures in to be another one of those wings that's probably more known for his defense. And so maybe battling Matisse Thybulle and Zaire Smith for, you know, some wing minutes off the bench.
But I see him more. I don't see him as that type of guy. I see them when I look at Zaire and Matisse. Like, if you have to say to me personally right now, the most complete of the three, going off of what I've seen in the summer league, I have to give it to Matisse.
Yeah,
because Matisse has shown that he can make some shots. Right, he has also shown that he can defend the ball. Like, a lot of guys are saying, can you defend in the zone? Can you do this? Can you do that? Or you're just a zone defender? No, the guy can defend, right? When you look at Zaire, right now Zaire is a way better defender than he is a shooter. Now, he was making some shots. He's extremely athletic. He's the most athletic of the three, mm-hmm. right? But Matisse, to me, is the most complete. And he still has to work on some things, but he's the most complete. When I look at Shake looks like a shooter to me, a scorer. A shooter, he can score a little bit. You know, he's smaller than the two. Well, Zaire's a little shorter,
too. He can defend a little, though, Shake.
Yeah, but I you know.
Maybe not to the level of the other two.
Yeah, not to the level of the other two. And the thing with him is it's just going to be a size mismatch. Like, when you look at Matisse, again, he's young, but they're all young. He's, like, around the same age as those guys, if not older. You know, when you look at him, he's bigger. So he can guard bigger guys. I mean, are you going to put Shake on a 6'6 guy? You know, I don't
probably
think so.
No.
Now when you have a guy like Zaire, he's long. So, I mean, he's like a 6'9 wingspan. Yeah. He's 6'2 without shoes, since they say that nowadays. He's 6'2 without shoes, but he has a 6'9 wingspan. So he can get away with a little bit more than Shake. And I don't like really talking about this because it seems like I'm being a little negative. I'm just trying to keep it real. Like, I just don't think that, you know, as far as a guy, like an athletic guard, you want to put Shake on him. That's all.
You know, one other interesting thing was Matisse's reaction to his first day in a professional training camp. You know, he's been here probably as much as anybody over the summer and everything. And he said the level that it took the first day compared to the informal workouts was like night and day. He had to catch his breath and, you know, make sure he could handle. He said he didn't want to mess up and everything, but he said he was really impressed with the pace of the practice.
Yeah, things got real today. Yeah. That's what they said.
Yeah.
But look, Mark, I want to thank you for joining this podcast. You had a day off. You were playing hooky yesterday. Mark was writing articles and he had things to do. But I want to thank you for being on here, and I want to thank you all for listening. And we'll be back tomorrow. Peace.